Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Amplify your career through training and development solutions specifically designed for federal government professionals. From courses to help you attain or retain certification, to individualized coaching services, to programs that hone your leadership skills and business acumen, Management Concepts optimizes your professional development. Online, in person, individually, or groups, it's training that's measurably better. Learn more at managementconcepts.com. That's managementconcepts.com.
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Sound like your usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. That sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, maybe.
Why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
Now's the good stuff.
It's always weird when you're in London, you walk past train stations or nightclubs in the morning and see them people coming out.
Yeah.
You know, my gym, I've been going through a bit of a fitness thing lately. I did the Tough Mudder the other week.
Oh, really?
I've been training. But my gym, I have to walk past the Wetherspoons.
Oh.
It's a really good thing to sort of like you're thinking, oh, that's where I could be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I walk past it with like a smugness.
A nice looking down.
Yeah.
I always look at... There's a quite a rough, like near where I live, on the top of a Highbury roundabout, there's a pub called the White Swan, and it's like notorious, like massive spoons. And literally, it's like it's one of them where they're queuing up in the morning.
You know,
it's like just as it opens, it's like 11 a.m. or whatever it is. And you see it like round the block, and honestly, you think it's like a nightclub or something people are queuing for, and then you realize it's the spoons and they open all day.
Where are you from?
I grew up in North London. Just literally just off the Archway Road.
So was that your sort of first, were you that spoons drinker as a young? It's a young person's thing and it's an old pisshead thing. It's like that sort of weird.
Yeah, like just pubs. To be honest, it was just like local pubs. Whatever pub you could get in El Clasico, you do the old, do you ever have the sort of European driving license? If Lithuanian...
No, I had a girlfriend at the time and I borrowed an older brother's ID.
Oh,
we look nothing alike.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
Brown hair. It's a similarity.
I remember being a kid and what you do is like, you on a website, right? Yeah. You put 20 quid in an envelope and you would send it with a passport, like passport stamp picture of you, and you just send it off and you had about a 1 in 3 chance of an ID coming back. But you do it, like I remember doing it like twice, and like one time no ID, second time yes, and you're like it's worth it.
That's good. But actually that's a good feeling though, isn't it, when you used to go abroad, like it was like 15, 16, you get served.
That
was like no issue ever, was it?
Yeah,
that's weird, isn't it?
Well, it's just like abroad, they don't care, is it?
Is that because they don't care? But what about their own people from that country? Do they care if... Was that just not done? It's because we're British.
I think it's just European. It's
But I remember that feeling of... did you ever used to send like your... Do you remember standing outside a shop?
Yeah.
And seeing, waiting for a bloke?
Yeah. And asking him.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, mate, can you...
It's always been having to ask the bloke was always awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah. They would normally do it, though. I always did fine. Like, maybe one person would be like, no, but like, in general, they would just do it. They don't care.
Or you had that like one really, really strangely hairy friend.
Yeah.
Send a hairy friend in to go and get
I had my mate Finn. He looked like 25 from the age of about like 50.
You get that, didn't you?
Yeah, and he
strangely big dicks.
Yeah.
You'd be there with your little
pecker. Yeah.
And it's this little 13-year-old with a big man dick. And what is that?
Yeah. And he would, he found an ID on the floor, literally like on the ground of this, like, it was like some Australian driving license, this bloke called Kim Edwards. It made him about 26 on the license. And he was like 15, 16, but it worked like a charm and he was just getting in everywhere.
But I remember there was like little bouncer tricks that trip you up. They'd go like, what's your star sign? But all I do was just add a year to my actual, say I was 17, like 1988, I'd just say 87.
Yeah.
If you ask my star sign, it's still the same star sign.
I'm dyslexic. I'm having a fucking meltdown.
The panic.
It's like absolute breakdown.
But yeah, the feeling of getting that thing when they check the ID and you can come in. It's fucking feeling that was.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Right. Have we started?
Yeah, we started.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize. I thought you were going to do an intro. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
You just
swatting in. Yeah. No, I used to that kind of thing. I remember being in a bar in somewhere in South London. I think it was in Brixton, right, with my mates. And we went to a pub and then I had a fake ID, right? And the bouncer took one look at it, right? And it was he just took it and he's just like, nope. And he's like, that's fake. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my whole night's ruined. So I meant to go out to like other places afterwards, like I had with all my mates and everything. And then to the bouncer, I was like, please, 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 can I have it back, right? And then the bar guy was like, meet me outside. And in hindsight, what a prick for doing this. He was like, if you give me 50 quid, I'll give it back to you. Yeah, so I had to go whip round my mates, all cough up, all get the money and then pay and get the ID back.
This is a bit of a generalisation.
Yeah.
Bouncers, just
cunts.
Bad people, man. Yeah. I always remember in school, there's always like a girl getting pregnant. Who was it? A bouncer.
A bouncer or PE teacher, that's it. No.
Yeah. Always getting pregnant by bouncers all the time. They're the people they're in charge of our safety.
Yeah.
And then you get the ones who, they're not looking after your safety. No. They want to punch someone.
Yeah, they just want to fight. Yeah, they're up for it. And it's like their dream to be like, not tonight, boys. Boys. Did you ever go out in central London when you were younger? Did you ever go one of them what are those clubs called? It's like Movida, like those like fancy central London.
I remember
clubs.
That ones like Piccadilly Circus.
Literally, I remember, and one of them, it was one of them where you had to bring a girl or you got no chance. You've got no chance whatsoever. Yeah. And I remember like queuing up with like a big group of lads, literally getting to the front and like this like twat with a clipboard, just like, not tonight. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
And we were like, we've queued, we can pay. And they're like, not tonight, lads. That was it. And just like, off you go, boys. Off
horrible
you go.
Feeling.
Yeah, just slammingly rejected.
Is that thing as well when you used to go out? Because how old are you?
I just turned 30.
30. So you're so similar to Ray, but did you have, was it shoes a thing?
You couldn't rock up in trainers.
He's going in your school shoes. So your school shoes.
The shittiest. You're like your dad's work shoes.
The rules they make to get him a shoe. Your trainers are nicer than the shit shoes they make you wear.
Well, now I think there was like a bit of a, because I reckon now like people.
Trainers are fine.
You're going in like designer trainers or whatever, people going out. But like now, back then it was like, no, you got to have your
shoes. It was a shirt thing as well, shoes and shirt. You're wearing jupe, bit of Lynx, Africa.
Yeah, everywhere.
But then we used to have a Thursday night. Because Thursday night was all student night.
Yeah.
Places are just student night.
Yeah.
You know, and I was never a student.
Yeah.
I just used to ride on the back.
Yeah.
Just tackle on, you know what I mean? Just, I'm not a student, but I'm going to come along.
I remember there used to be a student night in central London called Cheapskates.
Cheapskates.
Yeah. people know it. Yeah. That place was like, it was like the cheapest place you could drink in London. I think it was like maybe like £2 for a drink or something.
Yeah.
Or like maybe £3, whatever. But like for London, you're like, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But like, we'd just pack it out to a point of like, it was like so, like, just like you crammed in there. And then they'd have a smoking section out the back, right? And like, to keep the turnover high, because everyone kept wanting to go out, they had a whistle, and a woman would blow a whistle when your time was up, like it was like a prison camp, and you'd have to get back inside and then switch it out, rotating people to smoke.
Fucking hell.
Fucking wild.
But I remember that, like, back in them days of like going, when you first start going out, like 18, 19, I always remember saying this thing, like, because your main thing was to get girls, go out and get girls. And I remember thinking like, oh, weren't in our pool last night? And then you look at photos of yourself, like fucking, like the most awful.
Yeah. Like probably because you were wearing a shirt with a collar on like this, mate, and you're an idiot.
Pale, spot, like too much gel in your hair. But I remember there was like, when I first started going out, so like, I can't work out, so what, 2006?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? There was like this, the fashion was fucking so,
so
he's
bad.
Like, he's like he'd been kicked through Top Man. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's never like, remember like pointy shoes?
Yeah, yeah.
Like pointy shoes.
And I remember also like people wearing that like t-shirt with Rihanna on. Remember that t-shirt with Rihanna?
Yeah. But I remember one because like Geordie Shore was big and there was the V-neck.
My mate
said the V-neck was so low, your cock and bollocks hung over the top of the neckline.
All that Geordie Shore fashion was so terrible.
It was bad. But there was this phase of like, I remember that the soundtrack to it was Justin Timberlake's second album.
Yeah.
So he'd have blokes with like, it'd be like a V-neck, waistcoat, rosary beads.
Waistcoat's a strong look. Yeah, no one's doing the waistcoat anymore.
Waistcoat and t-shirt.
Yeah.
And there was like, blokes had like sort of like McFly hair.
Like a thin thing
on the back.
Yeah.
Spiky. But the thing is, like, there was the lads who sort of done, and there's, I remember, All Saints boots, like jeans tucked into All Saints boots.
All Saints as well. Stephen,
But so there was that. But then it looked shit anyway, but people used to get it right, and that was look. But then people like me used to get it so wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did like the Primark version of that.
And also, a
terrible look was always the pointy shoes, but jeans where you used to stand on the back of your jeans.
Oh, that was the worst.
The
disgusting, shitty end of your jeans as well. That and sagging. No one sags anymore. Do you remember that? Do you remember, like, kids, like, everyone wear their jeans, like, really low down?
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird look as well.
Because there was, like, the grunger vibes, though, wasn't there? Do you remember the grunger vibes?
Like, it was, like, emo kids. And,
yeah,
like,
it was that. Because I was never that. I was more, like, sort of... Reebok classics thing.
Shiny.
It's weird that we're at that age now where that's like retro, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's horrible to think about how old we are. It's just like... Also, like, I think if you try and speak to kids and that, like, if you talk to like an 18... So like my partner's got a younger sister who's like 18. And like, trying to speak to an 18-year-old now, you've got no idea, mate. You are so detached from what they find cool and interesting.
Well, this is the weird thing, the weird... dynamic me and you have got, though, being on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's getting older people now, but you'll realise, like, if you're getting, like, hate or just some sort of weird comments, it's just that age.
Yeah.
And you trying to work that out.
Yeah.
Because you're so detached from what that is and what they're thinking and, like... Do not get into an argument with a 15-year-old.
No, it's not.
do you know what I mean? Like, you can't. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like,
it's what young people care about as well. I think they just care about like different things to what we care about. Like, they're all very political. Like, you know, like when we were younger, I don't remember. Maybe it was a thing, but like, I don't remember. Like people just instantly would have a go at your like political state. People would be like, you're a fucking Tory or whatever. I was like, I don't remember anyone using that as an insult. No one would ever like use your political standing as an insult. Yeah. Like never. Like you'd be like, you're a bender or like you're a dickhead or whatever. Yeah. Like,
you're not wearing All Saints.
Yeah, exactly. You know, your political affiliation was never like that. You're like, what?
Yeah.
If someone used that, I'd be like, shut up, you fucking nerd. Like, what do you mean?
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, because I just can't. I mean, do you find there's a difference between your Instagram audience and your TikTok audience?
Yeah, so I think they're definitely older.
You can sense that.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, I think also, like, TikTok's like, someone explained it to me, it's like putting up a billboard in Leicester Square. So it's just like so many different demographics and people are going to see it, kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas like Instagram is much more your following that will see it. As opposed to TikTok's like way wider.
Because there's as a user, are you more of an Instagram user or a TikTok user?
So I'm for me, right, with TikTok, this is how I treat my social media. Like TikTok, I treat like the open mic, right? So I'll do a sketch, and if it does well, I call it like a 20K barrier of shame, right? Okay, if it breaks that, then I go, okay, we can put it on Twitter, we can put it on Instagram, right? But if it doesn't break that, it's dead to me. Like it's just it dies on TikTok and it stays there.
I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's your barrier of shame? What's it about?
Well, you know, I don't know if I've got that, but I've got more of a what's my ratio to views to likes.
Oh, that's probably smarter, to be honest.
Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes the algorithm just won't push it, and you think, I don't know why. Then that's and because then something will pop off on Instagram.
That doesn't go the other way.
It's the demographic thing as well. People are a bit older, they might get it more. But I think that's why, like, you always see people say, oh, Instagram's dead, it's all about TikTok. But, I mean, I'm more of an Instagram user just because it just seems more personalised, doesn't it? It seems about like the stories, the DMing, you know who you're following type thing.
I think for Instagram, like, people are saying it's dead, but it's like it's still got like 900 million people using it. Like, it's not like
it's not bad,
dead. It's like, if that's dead, then, you know, whatever. It's just TikTok's like the thing on the rise. So that's why. I think users-wise, I'm not sure what's got more. I just think one's you know, one's growing and one's a bit stagnant. That's all.
I don't know. That's a way to look at it. Is the did you start uploading videos with the with real intention?
No. So like I think I just uploaded stand up to begin with. I think like a lot of people, I was just like pandemic hit. I was like, oh, actually weirdly, so I had Nigel Ng, who became Uncle Roger, on my podcast just before the pandemic, and he wasn't even doing anything on social media. Right. He literally had like 20,000 followers or something.
Really,
like nothing. And then he was like telling us, he was like, oh man, you got to do TikTok. And we were like, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, cool. Oh yeah, that'll work out for you, mate. Yeah, good one. Good one. Yeah, YouTube as well. Yeah, cool, mate. Yeah, so I'm just going to stick to stand up. Anyway, ego's nuclear, obviously, right? And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll give it a crack kind of thing. And then, you know, you get a few things work kind of thing, and then you just keep plowing on, don't you?
That's why you've got to learn. And the thing is as well, you're happy when people do, oh, TikTok's for kids, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can if you're doing well with it, you can still go, yeah.
Yeah. It's paying my bills though, isn't it? Yeah, it's paying my bills. That's what I care about. Give me that Head and Shoulders deal. give me that Domino's, whatever it is. Like, I don't care.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Exactly. Do you have to, when you get approached to do like collabs and all that, do you have to, are you like a pick and choose type person or?
No, so I'll tell you, this is good. When I first started, somewhere in the world, on an Indian Tinder, basically, I pop up and I'm like, hi, I love using this Indian dating app. Yeah. So you know when you flick through and you get an ad, you're on a dating app. Yeah. That's me in India.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I pop up. And like, stupidly as well, I went and I found the emails, and like someone explained this to me now, but like basically in that contract that I signed, basically they've got it forever. So like, doesn't matter how successful I became, right? Yeah. I'm not saying I'll become successful, but it doesn't matter how successful I became, they can use that forever because I just signed off on it. Because they were like, honestly, it was like 250 quid, and I was like, you're gonna give me 250 quid to make a little video? Like, of course I'll do that, 100%. Like, I was like absolutely blown away, and like signed off on it like a mug, and now got that for life. So,
but when you started doing like the collabs and stuff, did you get the hate?
Oh, what?
The sellout hate and all of so people going, or like, because I think there's this thing of like when you do a collab, you want to make sure that you are being you in it. You got to have like,
You want to do the creative one.
Yeah. Because if you start doing things where
it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now's the time to get 2 for $3.99. Mix and match a 4-piece McNuggets, a McDouble, a McChicken, or a hot and spicy McChicken. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Because the thing is, about as comedians, we're piss takers.
Yeah.
That's our thing, isn't it? It's to take the piss. So if you're doing something sincere, it's hard to pull off, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? They've got to have an understanding of
what you do and your...
Because if you're saying all this like this like contractual legal shit in your comment, it just looks weird.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're at the end and you're like, you can get a 1.5% return on your investment, you're like, what?
Someone made me do it once and it was just, I just felt, I don't like doing this.
But also like brands have got to know as well that doesn't work. Honestly, anyone watching either of our videos, it's the millisecond you start being like, I love whatever mattresses. I can't, you can get a great return on instantly. I'm like, I'm so bored, I'm done. You're signing off straight away. So, let the comedian be creative with it and think of a good idea or something that will be engaging at least, or like engaging.
Well, I think some people, what they're probably doing, a brand is looking at your followers and going, who he'll do. Actually looking at what your content's about, whatever.
Yeah.
So the ones that do work, like I've recently done one for Domino's, and it does work because I can
make that funny. I've
had a Domino's. I know what a Domino's is. I can have something to do. And then like you give your idea, it promotes them well and promotes me well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like it's a nice relationship there.
That nice win. But it's hard to come by, and that's what I do. Yeah. So like I've written a lot of like creative and stuff for brands and stuff, and that's what I always say to them. I always say like, just trust me. Like, give it to someone who knows and let them do their thing. Because if you start giving people ideas and saying, do this, they'll always fuck it up.
Yeah.
They'll always fuck it up.
Yeah.
It's like the people are creators. We're not like necessarily actors. We're not like playing a role. It's just like, no, it's just us. Isn't
yeah.
It? So we'll
it's
do
like
that.
In comedy, if someone, if like someone, like a comedian goes, oh, you should say this. And you go, well, that's your joke, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
it's always someone shit who say that as well. Like, have you ever had anyone give you advice who's not a comedian after a gig? That's the worst.
Sort of.
Just
yeah.
Just like
yeah,
people
yeah.
come up and be like, yeah. well, the thing is, mate, what yeah. you should do is, and you're like, mate, you're a fucking, you sell insurance. What are you doing? What, yeah. what are you talking to me?
I had a guy who wrote down how ways to improve my jokes. He handed me a bit of paper. I was like, oh, cheers, man. He died before I did it. I was like, I just smashed that, man. Fuck's sake.
Well, he's another comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, no, I was like, whipped the ideas a little bit. I was just like, is this what normally happens? You know what I mean? I was like, but that, you know, I would always be humble and polite anyway. And
yeah, listen. Be like, oh, thank you, mate.
But I always talk about you, mate, because you was at one of my first early gigs, weren't you?
Oh, in
Brighton.
In the Brighton gig, yeah.
I didn't do very well.
No, it was
bad. That was one of them humbling moments, though, of like, I'm not, because I had about like, I done about four gigs.
Yeah.
And they'd all gone really well.
Mate, that's four gigs in, that's yeah. very, very good. Like, yeah. honestly, I look back at tape of me in my first year and it's just, I can't even watch it. Like, it hurts to watch. You're like, what the fuck was I doing? Like, why do I think that was funny? Like, what fucking idiot? Like, no one thought that was funny. Like, yeah. oh, man.
Yeah, so but I just remember that feeling of you being there, because I think you'd recognize me from socials yeah. and all that, and then it was like, I think you had to shoot off, but you said, oh, I'm gonna hang around and watch this.
Yeah.
And I just had a shit job. And I was like, oh, just fucking kill me, man.
Comedy will crush and break your soul to a point of like yeah. no return, like so many times over. Like,
but did you ever think, I was saying this to someone the other day, it's that weird feeling, isn't it, of you know, like, you could have, I had a great weekend just gone, I did a few gigs where it just, you know, it went really well. Mm. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to shake your hand off and all that. And then on like a few days later, I did one that just didn't die, yeah. it just didn't go. No, well, it went all right. It went well. I didn't smash it, basically. Yeah. And then weird that feeling of doing so well just gets completely removed.
Yeah.
And then you just think, I'm just shit at this.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
You're one gig away yeah. from looking at your notebook and being yeah. like, well, I've got nothing. I have no jokes. Like, you're every comedian. I think that happens with like really big people. Like, I've gigged and seen like big people off the telly do have a shit gig and go through the same thing. I think, like, yeah. you know, it's just, doesn't matter how big you get, and that's why comedy is always so cruel, because it's like, doesn't mean you can be absolutely smashing it every single night, and then yeah. you'll just have one night where it just don't work, and yeah. then people are like,
but that's where the gamble is, though, isn't it? Because that feeling of smashing is so good, you're willing to gamble to yeah. get that high again, aren't you? You're willing to do
put
it.
Yourself out there, get on that train for
that is the crazy
getting that car share for X amount of hours.
Right. So first question. What's the worst thing you've done for money?
Worst thing I've done for money. God. So when it comes to the worst thing I've done for money, this really comes down to like, I guess it's like worst jobs I've done. Right,
yeah, yeah.
So this is like the worst, these are two of the worst jobs I've ever had in my life, okay? Right. First one was, and I honestly think the entire public of the United Kingdom should be made to do it for one day, and I think we'd all be nicer people, okay? So like, I just graduated, had no money, absolutely broke. And then one of my mate's uncles ran a traffic management company.
Right.
So, you know, traffic management, so the people who basically lay out the cones
and
put up temporary traffic lights.
Yeah.
Right. So we were like, just on the outskirts of London somewhere, right? And basically my job was to sit in the pissing rain for 10 hours on a temporary traffic light, right? This temporary traffic light has caused like absolute backup of traffic, like yeah. just so much traffic, right? So by the time that people get to you, the sheer, the abuse that you will receive, you've never felt anything like it. And like, it's not even like, you would think it's like, oh, it's probably like big geezer blokes. Or it's every like type of human being. It's like old ladies, it's everyone literally winding their window being like, you're a fucking job worth cunt, mate. And like, you just have to sit there like a fucking lemon on this light, just like clicking it. And it's one of the most humbling experiences yeah. I've ever had in my life. Like,
fucking
it was,
hell.
Yeah.
But have you, they are, it's a nut, saying that is my biggest thing that I hate about is digging up the roads and temporary traffic lights.
Yeah.
That is annoying.
No, it's annoying. Yeah, I get it. You're annoying,
in the firing line.
I've been the other side. And to be fair now, because I have been through it, I am a bit more, slightly more sympathetic. Like, I probably wouldn't wind down the window and scream at a 19-year-old, you're a cunt.
I wouldn't do that anyway. That takes a lot of anger, doesn't it?
Oh, man, but people are just so mad because they've been backed up for so long. And then they see what they see as the root of the problem, which is a 19-year-old kid sat on a traffic light and they're just winding down their window. She's like, get a real job, you fucking cunt. Like, people, like, proper brutal. Like, you just get a haircut and shit. Like,
nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I know. Like, absolutely nothing. Just absolutely savaged for an hour. Like, because you're making everyone late, aren't you? That's it. You're making everyone, whatever anyone's got to do, they're just going to have a go at you.
That is the rage. I did it. I was driving back from Brighton last week for a gig. And so I have to go down the M23 back into that Croydon. Mm. And halfway down the, so it's about 12:45, right? Halfway down the motorway, this is shut.
Yeah.
So you have to turn back around. So it's like midnight, driving back towards Brighton. And there's that anger.
Oh.
It's angry. Yeah. Like, I can't get zen about them moments.
Because it's making you do something that you didn't need to do. And that is just so frustrating.
Well, just tell me back there.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me now?
Yeah.
I've just driven all the way down here.
Yeah. It's painful. It's rough.
It is. And I had that one the other day because it was on the way there. Traffic, it was a bad evening. But you know when you sort of, you turn off the motorway, right, and it's like this gridlock turning off. People driving and trying to cut in. Who are these people?
Yeah, cunts.
Jeez.
Sort your life out. Take a look. Good Lord, look at yourself in the mirror and fucking have a word. Oh,
that is bad.
Yeah, rough. So anyway, that was probably one of the worst jobs I've ever had. Right, that I did for money. The second one, this one's a bit more elaborate. Right, so this was the first proper job I had, and I was I got a job working for a production company, and I was right. Hollywood, here I come. Thought it'd be the absolute dream. Actually, what they did was make really low budget documentaries, okay? So, and what I mean, I'm the most junior person there. Making tea would be actually a dream. I was basically just moving stuff. That was it. I was just moving stuff around for them. And they decided that they want to make a documentary on people with alternate lifestyles. But what that meant was they wanted to do one of them old school Channel 4, I Married My Sofa kind of, proper weirdos, not normal people who are weird, right? So they're looking at people and they're right, they find this guy and he injects snake venom into himself.
In England?
In England. Right. So you can Google him because Vice and a few other people have made documentaries on him since, right? Yeah. So if you go on YouTube, you can check this guy out, right? He's a strange American guy, right? And so they were the senior people were basically, you need to go meet this guy.
Why is he doing this?
I don't know.
And how is he not dying from that?
Well, so this is, I'll get into it when I meet him, because when I speak to him, right? Yeah. So they're look, go meet him, right? Go to his flat, right? And speak to him, and if he seems all right and not completely insane.
What do you mean if he's...
sure,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, well, it's Dave and whatever, right? So they're just go meet him, right? Just go down and meet him.
You're on your own?
Yeah, I'm on my own. And so I was okay. So he lives in a flat in North London, right? So go down there, right? Opens the door. He's an American guy. He's got sort of shoulder length black hair, right? And he's wearing jeans and just a leather waistcoat and nothing else, right? And I'm hi, right? And he's like, yeah, come in. And I'm okay, cool, man, sweet.
Fucking hell, this is dangerous.
Well, I guess it could have been.
How old were you at the time?
I was I don't know, I was 21, something, yeah? And I was okay, cool. But also, because I'm working for this production company and I'm I've got my dream job. I was whatever, I just have to go with this because I don't want my boss to have a go at me, all right? So I go into his flat, right, and I thought, oh, we'll have a bit of chit-chat, we'll get to know each other. He's straight to snake shit. Just straight away, he's like, scientists are using my blood. They're using my blood for anti-venom. And I'm like, oh, okay, lovely.
No cup of tea?
No, nothing. I was just lovely. That's great, man. Yeah, sick. And so I was I asked him the question. I was so how did you get into injecting snake venom? Did you always know you were immune to the snake venom? And he was no, I went to hospital a lot, right? And I'm right, well, this guy's completely insane at this point. I'm this man is fucking a loony.
Do you have snakes?
Yeah, so this is it.
I'm sorry, I ruined your
I'm in his flat and I can't see any snakes, right? I'm not there's loads of snakes just running around, right? And he's so we a bit more chatting about snakes and he's right, do you want to see him, right? So I'm well, I guess I did come here for this, so I've got it really, yeah? So he goes over to got a big airing cupboard, right? In his thing. And before he opens it, he asks me, he goes, are you a cop? right? And I was like, no. Like, which actually, in a non-drugs related situation, that's more terrifying, you know? Like, if it's not, you're like, this is probably weird, right? And he's like, good, because I've got 12 of the most deadly snakes in the world, right? And I'm like, okay, fucking hell, here we go. So he opens the airing cupboard, and he's got like, they're like pull out drawers, like they look like sort of filing cabinet things, right? Yeah. And as soon as he opens the cupboard, I can hear a snake like coming out. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, okay, whatever, right? So then he gets a snake out, right? So he gets this like a black like cobra looking thing out, and he's got one of them, there's a snake stick?
You know what the stick is?
So he's got a snake stick, right? And he's like, and he puts it on the floor, and he's like playing with it, right? On the floor. And I'm just sort of like, basically the other side of the room, just being like, that's a good snake, mate. Yeah, nice. Yeah, love it.
Bloody good snake, that.
Yeah, that's, looks dangerous.
Definitely a snake.
Yeah. And then he's like, right, you want to see me milk it? And I'm like, what? I guess we've come this far. Okay, cool, right? So like when he means milk the snake, he means milk its venom.
Right.
So like he gets...
You get a bucket and a little stool.
Little... yeah, to milk this snake venom, right? So he gets a cup, right? Like a glass cup thing. And he gets the fangs of the snake, right? And he starts pushing down on the snake's head, and like venom starts coming out into the thing, right? So it's like collecting snake venom, right? So I'm like, okay, yeah, sick. That's nice, whatever. And then he puts the snake away back in the drawer, and he's like, right, would you want to see me inject it?
Fucking hell.
So I'm like, again, like, I guess this is what I came for.
But
so.
Weren't you just a preliminary chat?
Well, me, like, but like he
you got no camera with you, or
no, I've got no camera. It's just me. But he wants to, basically, I think he wants to show that he's legit. You know, he's got our production company. He's thinking like, right, well, I need to show these guys that I'm a fucking big deal or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like, right. So he does it, right? So he put. It, snake venom, right?
Like a syringe, like heroin style.
Yeah, like heroin style, but just snake venom, right? Yeah. And like instantly, he's like,
"You're watching this."
Yeah,
I'm just fucking hell, man. Yeah, what time is this?
It's like afternoon. Honestly, it's just in the afternoon.
It's Tuesday.
It's not like 3 a.m. Bender. Yeah. It's just like right. And then it's like it was a really weird experience. I was like, this is what I came here for. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. Yeah. Like, this is a bloke who says he injects snake venom. He's doing exactly what he says on the tin, right? Yeah. So he does it, right? And instantly, he's like. Like proper like and I'm like,
he's making a noise, going
crazy. He's like like tensing up like that, right? And I'm like, are you okay, man? Are you good? Like, is everything okay?
You got balls of steel. I'll be shit.
Really? Oh, this is even the craziest bit, right? So then he's like, you have just done a big dose, right? Anyway, cut to
pretty big dose.
He's like, cut to anyway. We're in a cab to hospital, okay? Because he's like injected too much snake venom, I guess. And he's like, yeah, we should probably get this checked out, okay? So we go to hospital, we go to UCH, which is like where the snake venom unit is in central London, right?
And you need one of them.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't think so.
I bet they're not busy.
Yeah, I know, whatever. Rushed off their feet.
Yeah, they're like, you know, like when them crap restaurants that no one goes to, but someone comes in with a snake bite, like, yes!
Yeah.
We get busy.
Anyway, so we get to the hospital. He knows, because obviously he's done this before, he knows exactly where he's going. As soon as he gets to the hospital, he's like, bang, straight in there.
This bloke again.
Yeah. No, literally, so we get up to the snake venom unit, right? And a doctor, right, obviously knows him. And I know he knows him because he starts like shaking his head and looking at him. Yeah. And he just looks at him and he goes, you promised. The doctor's like, you promised.
Fucking hell.
It was like the wildest like 2 hours of like my entire life.
But you know what's weird though? You're like, I don't know, like, you're like, I don't know, when you're waiting for something to happen, you're like, the Hulk or something, he does his thing and then you watch him become the monster. That period of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But even when you're watching him do the snake venom, like, what's the best? He's not going to turn into a snake.
Yeah.
Or like, there's no, like, you're going to say, like, that's the only thing that could have happened rather than nothing.
Yeah. The most exciting thing was that.
Yeah, because you go, do it then. And you go, how was it? Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
See you later then.
I don't think you get high off snake
venom. Yeah, I mean, like, what else could you be waiting for? Do you want to see me do it? Because it's just the thing of doing it.
It's quite a weird, I think for him, it was just like, it's more like, it's a bit like, you know, getting successful on TikTok for a thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, he found his thing that people paid attention to him for, which was stabbing himself with snake venom. Don't know why.
But yeah, there's no, yeah, I mean, you gotta ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
What, yeah, yeah. Like, I, honestly, I think he got wrapped, I don't know, because I don't know him, really. I only met him very briefly, well, I spent an afternoon with him, but I think he found something that he liked. That he wanted to, and like, not liked, but like, people were like, this guy's interesting. He's a snake venom guy, you know? Because like, if you met someone and you're like, I inject snake venom, you'd be like, all right, let's have a chat. Like, you'd want to know a bit about why.
Because he obviously went from, he first off started milking the venom.
Yeah.
And then there was a probably a, there might be a bit in between where he was thinking, what can I do with this venom? Yeah. They could have been like, just put it on his soup.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very interesting. I put venom in soup. That's not good enough. Yeah. Oh, no. Fuck it, I'll inject it then.
Yeah. Well, like, I imagine like maybe he got bit by a snake. That's what I was thinking. Like maybe he got bit by a snake and then like didn't die and thought, well, just crap.
Because he was impressed at the beginning by telling you.
Yeah.
And no scientists were.
Yeah.
Like, you saw the disappointed doctor. Yeah. He's not interested whatsoever.
Yeah, he was like back. He really wanted me to know that. And I think that gave him legitimacy. He really wanted me to know that scientists were using his blood to make anti-venom. And that was like a big deal for him.
Yeah.
Like I think that was his reward for years of... injecting himself with snake.
No one's. How long ago was that? That was a good while
this
ago.
This is a while ago.
I wonder if he's still around.
Yeah, if you got on YouTube, I know Vice made a documentary on him.
So he's still about. He's still doing it.
Yeah, still doing. He's alive. You know.
Yeah, he's alive. But I mean, to be fair, he is alive. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, he must be some. Must be something special about
him. Yeah, there's something going on. I don't know. It's just.
And did they do a story on it? Did your company?
No. So they didn't end up doing one on him, which was the mad thing. That was the maddest thing. After all of that, they did it. And like, we just didn't. And I think they're like negotiating with him about money or something, and it was like it just fell apart. But like, I was like, you put me through all that shit, and like nothing.
Nah, it's not really for us.
Yeah, don't need the state venom guy. Yeah,
fucking hell, man.
Yeah, so
that is a crazy story.
Yeah, very very bizarre.
Trying to grab all the groceries in one trip. Oof. Not how you would have done that. You know sometimes less is more. Like when you drive less and save with the USAA annual mileage discount. USAA. Get a quote today.
Right, we got a new question for the podcast.
Yeah.
What lengths have you gone to sleep with someone?
Okay. This is another good weird story of my life. Like, so basically, I need to set this up, right?
Right.
A bit. So
it's fine.
I went to uni, right? And yeah. I went to the University of Oxford Brookes, right? Which is the other uni in Oxford for people who are not smart, right? Yeah. And I feel like now, we were talking about young people at the beginning, I feel like people will probably go to uni now to like actually learn something good or like practical. But everyone in my generation went to uni to have a laugh and talk to girls. And that was it. Actually what you studied was so far down the line of anything. Yeah. Like I couldn't even tell you one thing that I learned. You knew nothing. Like, it just went because like everyone was doing it and it was a laugh and that was it. So we went and like in first year you're in halls, right? You're in halls, like group of lads, cool. And then you met a group of lads. And then in second year, we moved out to this like house in Oxford. But Oxford is quite expensive. It's a bit like London, like it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
So we found this like house, but we were told by the landlord, right, there'd be a lodger in the house, but we would never see him. Don't worry about it, right? So like obviously we're 19 and
ignore the snakes.
Yeah.
That guy again.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking snake like. Yeah. They were like, so we found like the previous tenants like on Facebook and we were like, what's the deal with this? And they were like, basically, it'll be a locked room in the house. You will never see him. He lives in Wales, this lodger, apparently. Don't worry about it. It's all good, okay? It's all good. So anyway, a time goes by, like, no lodger. It's just, like, us in the house, just, like, normal life, whatever, right? And then we came back after Christmas, and it was, like, a sort of, like, long, thin, old house with, like, the living room in the kitchen in the basement.
Yeah.
And, like, we were all just, like, playing FIFA or something in the living room. We just hear, like, hello, hello, come from upstairs, right? So we're like, what the fuck? Like, bear in mind, like, we're 19, we're like, we're little kids, we're no idea. So we're like, we go upstairs and like, his door's open for the first time, right? It's like a crack like that. We go in there, it's just an 80-year-old man, 80-year-old man called Mr. Kirkham, right, as we found out, sat on the bed, right? And we're like, all right, mate, how's it going? And he's like, yeah, hello. He's like, I've hurt my leg. Can one of you? I'm not going to do a Welsh accent the whole time. It's going to be awful.
It's a good start.
Yeah,
it's a
good start.
We know you can do it.
Off, yeah. And he was like, I've hurt my leg. Can one of you help me go to the toilet? Right. So like, obviously, we all have to like leave the room and have a conversation where it's like, well, I came here to do business management, mate. I don't know. Yeah, this is mad. Like, we didn't. You know.
Didn't notice him arrive.
No. So he came. Like So we'd all just come back after the term from school, right?
So
it was like in that window. So we weren't back in the house yet, and we'd arrived, and he was in that room. He was there for like almost 24 hours without us knowing he was there, which was pretty weird anyway, right? So one of us, like my mate, helps him, goes to the toilet, right? Cool. Yeah. And so we like talking to our landlord and stuff, and we're like, you know, what should we do? And he's like, oh, we'll just, you know, if he's hurt his leg, like call an ambulance or whatever, right, to make sure he's okay. So he goes off to hospital for 2 weeks, right? In that period of time, we're like talking to our landlord, and we're like, look, we can't live with an 80-year-old man. Like, we're 19-year-old students. This is ridiculous. Yeah. And our landlord's like, yeah, don't worry, boys. I'll sort it. It's all good, right? 2 weeks go by. Landlord's like, yeah, really sorry, lads. He's decided he wants to stay. You now just have to live with an 80-year-old man for the rest of the year. Good luck, right? So we're like, what the fuck? Like, this is just like... as weird as you think it is, like it's that weird. Like I remember being in like nightclubs, in and around like the town, and people would be like, "Have you heard about them boys who live with the old man?" I'd be like, "Yeah, it's me. It's my life. Like it's not funny. Like it's not." People would be like, "No way, do you live with an 8-year-old man?" I'd be like, "Yeah, it's Mr. Kirkham, man. Like it's him, right?" So we continue living with him, and it's like lots of very weird things happen in that period of time. Like it's just a surreal situation. You know, it's not normal. Like it's just.
It's bizarre.
What, having an 80-year-old man in your house?
We're in the kitchen, you knock about.
Yeah, man, he was just walking around, like, names as well, like, because, like, our landlord, like, and everyone, like, reassured us, like, he was apparently, like, he wasn't crazy, like, he was of sane mind, like, he wasn't, you know, there was nothing wrong with him.
Apart from the fact he lives with a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's a little bit weird.
Yeah, a bit weird. But, like, it's just, like, then he would just, like, call us, like, very weird names and stuff. Like, we would, like, he'd, like, come into the kitchen and, like, you'd be like, I'm Tom, this is Ben, this is Dave, whatever. He'd be like, Cecil. And you'd be like, you know, that's not my, you know? Yeah. And it was just weird. It was just weird vibes. Also,
I wouldn't sleep easy. That's what I mean. That's
okay. So he would walk around the house like at night and stuff, and like, it was weird. It was bizarre. Yeah, it was probably weird.
Did he use the same bathroom as you as well?
Yeah. It's like, what can you do though? You just stuck with it, and like, no one would help us, and it was what it was, and So then this is sort of the getting laid thing came. So we're living with this man, right? And so like, I've gone on a night out, right? I've gone out and I met a girl, and like. At that period of time in your life, if you can meet a girl and like, this is it. This is the dream, right? This is why I came to you. This is it. I'm living the absolute dream. And she's like, yeah, I'll come back to yours. Like, whatever, right? Okay, so I'm like, yes. So I bring her back right to the house, and I leave in the living room in the basement, right? I leave her in the living room in the basement, and I'm like, right, I'm just going to go upstairs because I knew I had some rum in my room, right? So I was like, right, here we go. This is it, right? Go upstairs, right? In that period of time, the worst scream you've ever heard in your entire life, like I thought we had been broken into. Like, so I thought something horrific like was going on, right? So I came out of my room, because I lived at the top of the house, like running down the stairs, like meet all the other boys on the stairs on the way down, right? Running down the stairs, right? Burst back into that room, right? This girl is just backed against the wall, just screaming her head off, right? Having an absolute meltdown because Mr. Kirkham's walked into the living room.
You didn't know about Mr. Kirkham.
No. Obviously, I'm not like, come meet this 80-year-old man. I'm just like, I'm going to get laid here. This is it, right? Mr. Kirkham's walked into the room, right? And like, she's just like having an absolute hate trip because this is the best thing. She thinks a crazy person's coming off the street, and I have to be like, I'm really sorry. This is actually my flatmate. This is Mr. Kirkham. I live with him, right? Please don't leave, right? Yeah. And I'm like begging, I'm pleading, like, please don't leave. And she's just like, having none of it, just leaves. Just
done.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, it was the maddest year of my life. Also, like, he would just do, like, really peculiar things, like, you want to watch Countdown every day, right? Yeah. So, like, he'd just come into the living room and, like, he'd just sit there until you put it on. Like, it was just like, if you were doing something else or, like, playing PlayStation, you could be having the biggest house party of your life. It was like, no, you could Mr. Kirkham's watching Countdown.
Did you join him at a party?
You'd, like, walk around and, like, you'd chat to people and stuff, and, like, you'd have to, like, if someone was having, like, a big house party, you'd have to explain, like, this is Mr. Kirkham. Like, he's gonna be here. Like, whatever. I do remember quite a weird image of, like, him just, like, making a sandwich while we're having, like, a full-on house party around him. He's just like... But, like, the thing that I kind of rated, obviously it was a lot of weird stuff, but, like, the thing that I did rate is, like, he never complained about noise or anything. Like, he wasn't, like, angry.
That's
about,
good.
He was just like, yeah, just whatever. But
so you didn't actually manage to seal the deal with the girl?
No.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, Mr. Kirkham.
She was so freaked out by that.
Yeah, she just was like, I'm gonna go home. And I was like, please. please. You know when you're like, please.
You had your waistcoat and your V-neck
on. Exactly. My pecs out, my Geordie short. Been to the gym, so much gym. That was it, man. I don't know. It's that period of time where, like, I never used to go to the gym, nothing. And then just like, I just remember like turning 20, I was like, everyone's going gym. You've got to get fucking huge.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
You're just like a loser and no one will speak to you. And like, oh man, I just remember being obsessed and just like going like every day. I wish I still had that in me. Unfortunately, not.
Yeah. Did it work out? Yeah, I sort of had that idea, but it's just like getting pissed is more important though, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like talking to girls, like getting pissed. Like, yeah. I wish I still had that. Which I think it's like having, like, fair play. Like, you still go to the gym and stuff. But like, yeah. Since I've had a kid, like, no, like, I've never, ever, like, I just haven't been in like 6 months, 7 months, I reckon.
Yeah. I think maybe that's when you're younger, though, you're trying to look good for. Yeah, ladies.
And then you give up.
And then you think, fucking.
What's the point? What's the point? Yeah. What am I doing this for? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is 100% it, isn't it?
But like, you play football, though, don't you? Like you said.
Yeah, like play football once a week. That's not really enough, is it? It's like,
something, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
you got to keep active.
I do think the older you get as well. Like if you want to look like absolutely jacked, like over the age of 30, that is an insane level of like dedication you're putting in to.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like feel like you could like look like. Get in good shape when you were younger, pretty easily. Well, not like easily, but it's just a lot easier than it is to do now. Like,
yeah,
just diet.
And it's just not as enjoyable. Like, because I did that Tough Mudder thing.
Yeah,
and I did really well actually. I think I found my thing. I mean,
what
like,
Tough Mudder's your thing,
man? I go into that sort of like survival type.
Yeah,
I mean, there is that little part of my brain. I've had it all the way around. I was thinking, I'm a soldier. you know, that thing in your brain, right? Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
You saw it kick off in Ukraine. You're like, I've got this. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. I'm going to smash it.
That was getting me round. I can't like go into the gym. You know that thing of like reps.
Yeah.
And then put the weights down, sit there. It's so boring, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And it's just that whole culture is quite a weird, dull kind of. I'm like, you know what I never got? Like, people who are like really into like bodybuilding documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and they're like, oh, like they follow all these bodybuilders and they're like really obsessive about it. And I was like, why? Like, that's just quite a boring thing to be into. Well, it's not like football or sport that you're into it because it's like, oh, you like it and you're like watching it as a sport. It's like,
just watching men's bodies.
Really, is that?
Yeah, but I sort of get it. I mean, there was a phase when I used to be really into like weight training. Mm. And it was that thing of get as big as you can.
Yeah.
That was the thing. And I got a big appetite. Was that excuse just to eat a lot as well? You know what I mean? And I did put on quite a lot of weight and get quite strong doing it. But you'd find, because if you were doing it for the ladies, the ladies didn't care. There's a men comment on it. Just men comment. Just like, do you know what I mean? Just like, can I touch your arms? I'm not doing it for you.
You're not doing it. Literally, that is so true. Like, I think like there's probably a level where like women appreciate like you're in good shape. Like, there's probably like, I don't know what the threshold is. Yeah. Everything over that is just for other blokes who lift weights.
Really,
it's not for anyone else.
I was saying to somebody the other day about like on like working on building sites and stuff. It's a very like heterosexual environment.
Yeah.
But the way you prove how heterosexual you are is so gay.
Yeah.
Like, they're always like grabbing your ass and you're grabbing your dick. And if you like bend over to pick up a tool, you're getting like
slapped
bummed or you know what I mean? It's like fucking hell, man. Like,
calm down.
Yeah. But no, I remember that, like being, because I used to live in Australia with my mate who was a personal trainer.
Right.
So we used to squatting and all that and just eating and
yeah.
I mean, that is that fun side of it, but
yeah, just eating. It's also the diet as well. That's what would kill me.
Yeah.
Like the rice and chicken. It's just
protein.
And
the thing as well, like you just see the word. I mean, that's the thing. We just see the word protein on things now because what marketing people have done.
Yeah.
People think that's a healthy word.
Yeah.
So you've got Mars bar protein.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, what? That's still just a Mars bar with a bit more like stuff jammed in it. Yeah, it's not the same.
You say to someone like, "Oh, I need my protein," and you go, "What for?" And they're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've heard.
It's like protein pizzas and stuff. Yeah. Does that defeat the point? Like, isn't it like, it's just sort of, why don't you just eat chicken? Why does it need to be a shape of something that you know tastes good? You know, why are you nicking the shapes?
Exactly that. But I think like even supermarkets have changed because you get like the protein section of like Sainsbury's now, don't you?
Yeah.
Like big tubs of stuff.
People are obsessed with it. It's just getting huge. But it's difficult. I think with age, like, I need to find something that's like, can like carry me through.
I think getting into a sport or something like that is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting something that's a good way to keep healthy. Yeah. I mean, I do like running. Purely, I've got to try and keep it because I did Tough Mudder on Sunday and I haven't trained since, and it's Friday now.
Right.
That's my problem. It's going too intense,
too hard,
and then stopping. But you got to
can't be asked.
Keep the momentum because the main thing about like endurance and things like that is for the brain.
Yeah,
it's such a it's so good, man. Because it's I find it's that thing of
do you find you're creative when you're running? Like, will you like think of ideas and
sometimes,
stuff?
Sometimes, because I used to get this do this thing of listening to podcasts and stuff, and I realize it's just distracting.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I now listen to sort of like meditation music while I'm running.
Yeah,
because it gives you a little bit of background noise, and you're not distracted or like. Have you ever seen it when you're sort of, you're running and you've got a thought, but then you've got Joe Rogan banging on in your ear. Joe, it's like it's a bit like it's too much.
Too much
going on. Do you know what I mean?
I think like I'm terrible for that, like being alone with my own thoughts. Like I'll do anything not to be. Like, you know, I'll always like podcast, music, like constantly something just like ingested into my brain.
Yeah, I was sort of like that, but I realised I'm better off without it. I'm actually better. Like
please tell me, because I think I've really I've been thinking about this, and I've been listening to, ironically, a few podcasts about it, and they were saying that if you are constantly distracted, like you are, like from a creative process, it does really stunt.
It's bad. It's bad. Yeah. I reckon the trick is to becoming creative is allowing yourself to get bored.
Yeah.
You allow yourself because otherwise it's just all you're doing is just blocking out. Whether you're putting the telly on or putting background music, or sometimes you're just blocking.
Yeah.
And that's where that instinct is to look at your phone. Mm-hmm. I'm bored. Look at my phone.
Yeah.
You've got to just break that cycle where you are just looking out of a window.
Yeah.
Some of the best stuff I've written, it's just been from me walking around my house, just talking to myself.
Yeah.
Just coming up with ideas and doing a thing. I got into this system when I first started to do well on social media. I told myself I was going to write a sketch every single day.
Yeah.
And I used to put on this, it's called Binaural Beats.
What happened?
I did actually manage to do it. I put on this like meditation music.
Yeah.
And just sit there and think, just sit there, no telly or nothing, just sit there like still, think, right, think of something.
Yeah.
And something would always come up.
Yeah, just something. Yeah.
You've got to let that happen, because I think
the boredom. Yeah, people just ingest so much shit. And like, I see it now, man. I was walking around like a Uniqlo in central London the other day, and literally there was a bloke just watching like the new Game of Thrones as he was going round. Like,
you
want to be in this world so little that you'd rather just like walking around watching.
You do
something.
Sometimes get them people talk about it, you get them adverts that talk about it, and it does make you feel. Have you been to a cinema lately? View cinemas? There's an advert on the beginning. Famous actor on it, but he tells you about like put your phone down. He has a video of all these people being distracted by the phone, and it's you think that's me.
Yeah, that's
I've got to stop doing that. You know what I mean,
I'm quite bad for it, but my partner, she can watch an entire film while looking at her phone while that's on TV, and like, you know, she'll stare at her phone and be playing on it and have the film on in the background kind of thing.
Yeah, see,
I'll go to like change it. She'll be like, no, I'm watching that.
Yeah,
and you'll be like, mental, no, you're not. You're looking at your phone. And but the weird thing is, she'll be able to tell you what's happening in that film as well, just from like the atmospheric noises going on.
Because I've discovered about myself, I've got a bit of like a sensory overload. I can't have too many.
Yeah.
I find it too hot. I get stressed.
Oh.
I've only now pinpointed it where it's coming from. It's if there's radio and the telly on, or just, I get, do you know what I mean?
Like, over it, yeah. After. Might be a bit on, there's a name for that. I don't know. You have
stressed.
To get stressed. Yeah,
angry
stressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right. Sensory overload.
I think we've got time for one more question.
Yeah.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you?
So, I mean, like, there's like loads of like obvious ones that I've just been, you know, man. Yeah, I've had parents walk in on me with a girlfriend, shit like that. Just like, just like horrific. Like, yeah. It's just like, but you know, like that. It's just like, it's embarrassing. But it's like, I don't think it's like, it's awkward, and it's like it's embarrassing. But like at the end of the day, like you get. I always think with that kind of thing, you're like, oh, you get over it.
You need to get to the point where you can laugh about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're
like, well, whatever, right? But this one like actually hurt because it was so pathetic. Like it was so pathetic. So again, this is like working. This was the second job I ever had. Actually, again, similar thing. Like working in production, right? And I was working for a production company again, and basically, I'm proper dyslexic. Like, when I mean like, not just like a bit. Like, it does piss me off actually when people are like, oh, I'm dyslexic. Like, it's like, are you actually, or are you just saying that?
Yeah.
You know, because people just talk out of shit. Like, people will be like, oh, I'm dyslexic. I think I'm dyslexic. It's like, nah, like, get tested and then we'll see. You might just be thick. You know, I do think.
And people say it like if they get a word wrong, oh, I'm dyslexic. They just as a sort of joke passing.
People are like, oh, I didn't pick up my kids. Dyslexic?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you know, nothing, yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Like, no. You know, anyway, so what I would do. And like this is where it gets really pathetic. Like if I had like quite a lengthy document, right, that I had to type out, and like this is proper pathetic. I would send it to my mum to spell check for me. Like, right. So I'd just be like, she's retired, and like, and she would just like quickly check it over for me, right? Like, if it was like really important. But obviously, like, being dyslexic, I do like get confused and stuff sometimes, right? So I was in like a long email chain. I had to send an email, this like proposal to this guy. We were working, doing this thing for like, I was like BP or something, right? We were doing like, gonna do some filming for them, right? So I had to send this like big proposal over, and I was in this email chain with this like senior management guy at BP, right? Yeah. And my boss as well. So I was like, right, I'm gonna send this over. So I emailed over to my mom, right? Like, and I was like, oh, can you check this, right? What I did was, I didn't just send it to her. I CC'd her into that email chain, right? So right. My mum checked through it, and then she emailed back, right, with the corrected document being saying, well done on the spellings, Tom. Well done on the spellings, Tom. You've really improved. She said, you've really improved.
Gold star.
Oh, fucking hell. And like, the second I saw it, like, you know when you're just like, you look at something and like, like, I just shut my laptop, and I was just like, there's no coming back. Yeah, like, yeah. It's done. And like, oh my God, I remember my boss like pulling me in and just being like, what the fuck is just like,
you can surely you can laugh about it when you explain it. You could laugh.
I just had to explain it, but like, he wasn't, he was kind of a prick to me, but like, he just wasn't finding it funny.
Oh really?
Yeah. It was just like, do you know how, like, embarrassed, because I think if it had just been him, I think maybe, but because it had like a client that you were working with, it's like the just like that heart sick. Have you ever had that one of them moments where you're like, I'm totally fucked? Like,
it's anything like that sending, isn't it? And you see the send. I did a, this is like years ago, but like, because I started doing my own, I used to have a carpet fitting business, right? And I didn't realize, like, I'm not good at computers and stuff, like, I'm really not good at it. And I don't know what I had, but I had like your YouTube account linked to your Gmail or something. Yeah, yeah. And so I gave myself like a silly, you know, I tried to make videos years ago. And I gave myself a silly name, right? And the name was Ronaldo Ballbag. Right? That's what Ronaldo Ballbag. I don't know.
Doing football related like videos?
No, I just thought it was a funny name. Like, Ronaldo Ballbag. I just thought on the spot, what do you call yourself? Yeah. Ronaldo Ballbag. Yeah, just said that. That's funny.
Like, my first email was like Badman 32.
Yeah. But it wasn't the email, it was the username of the YouTube. I'd made an email. I don't know what I'd done basically, right? And I started a carpeting business, and I thought I'd use that email because it was Jack Skipper at whatever, Hotmail. I don't know what it was, right? And so I was emailing back clients with like quotations and things like that.
Yeah.
And no one was getting back to me. And I realised they was receiving emails from Ronaldo Ballbag. I went round and all
who's this weirdo? Ronaldo Ballbag is...
Like, I was going
around, they probably honestly thought it was like a wind up or something. That's like,
is
it?
The thing is, like, I'd go around all professional, like, I'd got a little logo made, like, carpet samples, and like, oh, that guy is a very professional, slick young man. And you get an email from Ronaldo Ballbag. It took me fucking ages to work out.
And, why you're getting no business.
I think I'd like sent an email to a friend and like, you do know your name is Ronaldo Ballbag. Right. Oh, no. Fucking hell. But I didn't get embarrassed. I just thought, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah, you've got to accept it. Like, do you ever get any, like when you're in carpet fitting, do you ever get people just making, like, ridiculous requests or just things that are completely impossible? Or just, like, this is just stupid?
Yeah. But the worst thing to do is when you're, like, is when you, so you say, I've done the job since I left school, when people know better than you.
Right.
Do it like that. You're like, no, what do you talk about? You know what I mean? I know how to, it's fun. One thing I liked about doing carpets and that sort of thing is I think it's been really good for my comedy because I was going into like three or four different houses a day, right? And for observational comedy,
you're getting to see everyone.
You're on the front line.
Yeah.
You're on the front line. So if you I had a sketch once that really blew up about mums and their sons. You know, when a bloke is split up with his missus, he goes to live with his mum, and his mum will keep defending him,
right,
even though he's an absolute wrong one. Do you know what I mean? He's cheating on her, he's spent all the money. That actually happened.
Not my boy.
Yeah. The bloke was living around his mum's house, and his mum was going, but you work hard.
Yeah.
You work. And he's just an absolute wrong one. And I just, anything you see in someone's house, you think, I know that situation.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's why I'm all right at the observational stuff, because I'm like it anyway. I'm always very observant. I take things on. And if you just, I think that's one thing. it was good.
Yeah, it's about like, on the front line. Did you see the interior? Do you find that people's houses are pretty similar inside as well?
Yeah, you get that. You'll get like the stock. It's like you'll get the young family who bought all their stuff from IKEA.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and you'll see like they've all got their thing in their bathroom that just says soak.
Oh,
yeah, Jerry, see them. Yeah. They've all got that. It's like that, and then you get like
the ladies, the grey living room. Do you see that? Yeah, the grey and silver.
I did a sketch about that. Yeah,
man, that is such a like a. Yeah. I don't know what point, because for a period of time, obviously that was like people wanted that, and then like something happened. It's just like that's just gone to shit. You can't have grey silver.
And there's a good one where it's like you'll get someone has obviously gifted someone. Someone's gifted their mum a canvas of a photo they liked, and it's their really bad quality canvas photo. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But the mum doesn't get, oh, that's lovely.
Oh, it's mine's been on mantelpiece.
Yeah, it's like someone's like arm's been cut off. It's a really shit quality.
shitty, yeah. Yeah. Just those interior things, just like shitty things you can buy online. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
yeah. Quite, that's probably interesting as well, seeing that, like in the interiors of people's houses.
Yeah, it is. What's the future? What's going on?
For me?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm debating now. Well, you know, Edinburgh, you've conquered it, a bit of it anyway. Yeah. So, I'm now gonna like work towards. I've got to do an hour next year. I know I've got to do it.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to get everything lined up to do that. And so, like, I'm just gonna be doing previews and like, you know, like as many gigs as I possibly can to try and get that smashed on and like actually have a good hour to go up with.
Yeah, that's good.
And then just follow me on all social content as well. So banging out sketches constantly, and like I'm gonna improve. At the moment I do like two a week, I think, like on TikTok, and then like one a week on Instagram. But I know that's not good enough. I think you need to
I think sometimes when you get to a point where you've got a certain amount of following, like I think a lot can be down to quality instead of quantity sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Because like once you find your bit of your rhythm with it and you know when something's going to bang, you'd rather just do one of them a week. Because you found your thing now and you're sort of, do you feel like you have? Or
I think like it's quite difficult because I think a lot of what I do, a bit like you as well, is like if it's to do with a news cycle. So like for me, the things that like really explode and like go nuclear is like, well, the only times it has done for me is when it's been about something that's been going on in the news.
Yeah.
So like, conceptually, think of something that's like funny. So like the thing I did a thing where I bought Boris Johnson a birthday cake, right? When all that thing and like that just went like crazy. And so I've done a few things when it was hot. I did a thing about heat waves or whatever. Like, you know, it's just whatever's going on in the news cycle. And then, so I want to find a thing that I can do that's not news related as well, just because it gives you that like bit of content that you can like chuck out.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to try and tap in to, it's that what I was saying before about emptying your mind. Don't be distracted, because you'll get a sense of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And you want it, because you don't want to just make it like, because I did the two other recently. One was about the David Beckham in the queue thing. Because it's, you know, it's not a main news story. It's just a little thing that's going on. You can make a bit light, although it is a bit about the Queen, but you can make it sort of light of it.
I think as well for topical stuff like that. Yeah. I think that definitely does better on Instagram that has a slightly older audience, because like they're just more.
Yeah, yeah.
Not saying that kids don't know watch the news, but you know, they're more of aware of it as opposed to like a younger audience who are just like.
Yeah, yeah. Sort. I think that's it. You just get a sense of. And it's up, and you got to do what you like anyway. Do something you find funny. Enjoy it, innit?
Does it ever piss you off, like when you just like you like spend a lot of time and effort like thinking up, like creating a sketch, and like you're like even buying props or whatever it is, and then you just see some like twat kid just like sat on his sofa being like, "Don't you think that something's just so shit and like just nothing?" Or like see someone just like fall over and it's got like 10 million views, and you're like, "What am I doing?" What
I learned a long time ago: don't put any effort into because it's such a horrible feeling when it doesn't work. You know? And then even the sadder when you're crying in a wig.
Yeah.
Taking your wig back to the shop. It didn't work. Just go back there with your mum.
The wig. There's a few comics who have done it. I always take the piss out of the guy I do my podcast, but for his wig collection. It's
like, I've got one.
You got to do it.
Yeah. So,
fucking hell.
But no, it's been good, man.
Yeah, man. Good chat.
At
Tom Elwes, ELWES. So, yeah.
Tom.
Yeah. Check it out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.